Instrumentalist, thank you. Wonderful. We'll let you go ahead. See, right now, if I didn't have a clock, I'd sing that with you. I feel it right now. Boy, no need to doubt him now. God's in control, and I'm so thankful I'm a Christian. I don't know what, you know. When I was a boy, I don't remember when television came out, but I remember right after that. I remember no one had one, and we got a black and white. And I remember sometime along the line in the late 50s, they had the Mickey Mouse program on Sunday night. And I always thought, wonder what it'd be like to stay home from church and watch that, you know? I'm glad I never did. I tell you, this is God's house. Has proven a lot more important than Mickey Mouse. And it's a lot more important than the NFL and the NBA and any shopping mall in America. To me, it's more important than any snow slope, our lake, our fishing hole. I tell you, I have no regrets. I can't believe how life has put age so quickly on me, though I still look so young. But I've been going to church my whole life. I'm talking about Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all my entire life. I can't think of a Saturday I've not been at the house of God. And I have no regrets. Looking back through the years, no need to doubt him now. By and by, when I had given him more. You couples and you widows and widowers, you stay faithful to God's house. You teenagers, you never get too old for God's house. You get out on your own, you'll make the most foolish decision of your life. You walk out on God. Your Bibles tonight, we're in Isaiah. We'll have prayer in a moment. This is the text. Remember that God was speaking, what more could I have done for my vineyard? Remember that several months ago or so? He cared for the vineyard, and the vineyard did not care at all for him. And so in context, when he makes the statement found in verse number 12, but they regard it not the work of the Lord, it refers back to that. It also refers to the second of the six woes. There are six woes in this passage. Verse 8, woe to them, join house to house, lay field to field. You see that. Verse 8, 11, where we read tonight. Verse 18, verse 20, 21, and 22. Now I'm looking forward to speaking to us about this text in verse number particular, 11, 12, and 13. Father, I've been so refreshed today being with your people. I thank you for what they have meant to the cause of Christ, to thy name. Please help us in these moments. Please help Brother Sloan as he preaches in their service there. Thank you for what we're going to hear from the Word of God in these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe we all agree and would agree that America is in deep trouble. I'm so burdened for it. I'm burdened for our America economically. You cannot spend without paying back, without having trouble. I'm burdened for us politically. I mean, the next election go this way or this way because we're split right down the middle. Now, I'm not suggesting everything that Mr. Trump does is well. I'm not suggesting his lifestyle, all that, whatever it's been. But can you imagine where we would have been with our military and with sin had we gone a different direction? I think we're at a window of grace. I'm not saying he's the right person and all, but right now, I'm so very grateful. And though the news tells you how bad everything is, they don't want that man. They don't want what he stands for. It's very obvious there is anarchy when the lawlessness. We've now gone from the Watts and all that era and the violence, and it went to the college campuses, and now we've reached down to the schools, and we're teaching our children how to be lawless. How to be lawless. Those kids, I've not watched one clip. Those kids think that Congress and the president has the right to change the gun laws. They don't have a right to touch it at all. Now, you and I do. We can have a constitutional amendment. We can get, if we want to, every gun in America off the street, except for, of course, the criminals. But you cannot touch that Constitution without the approval of the states. I guess you know, in the schools, they have no idea what the Constitution is. They have no idea what the preamble is. They have no idea what the amendments are and how those first 10 were attached to the foundational Constitution of the United States. Can't touch them. Can't touch the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and peaceably to assemble. Peaceably doesn't mean you tear down statues you don't like. That's not peaceable. And the further we get away from laws and regulation, we are going to destroy ourselves from within. Abraham Lincoln was right. There's no outside power that can bring America down, but we can destroy it ourselves. I'm so burdened for our country socially. I'm so burdened for our country in the domestic area, our homes, our families. We're so fragmented. Far greater concern in my heart tonight is the New Testament local church. The greatest institution in your life and in your marriage and for your home is the church. Jesus gave his life for the church. And I'll guarantee it, your city, Pastor, and your city, dear man of God, is just the same as ours. Every church is closed but a few handful tonight. There are 9 million people in the Bay Area, and I would say that you could not go to five churches that are open tonight, and of the five, I would hope they'd all at least give the message of salvation for 9 million people, but there are thousands of church buildings. Something's wrong. We're so casual with God. We're indifferent with God. There's a three-day weekend, and God's people, it seems like we're just out because we've got to go get relaxed. The church, nothing else is more important in your home. The church, you must have the church. When I read this scripture tonight, we saw that they were given to wine and to strong drink from the early morning. But we get to verse 12, and the harp, and the vial, and the tabret, and the pipe, and the wine are in their feast. It was a big party. They lived for the party. It was all about the party, the fun, the play. What are we going to do? What's next? What are we doing tonight? What are we doing Friday night? What are we doing this weekend? Where are we going? It's all play. But I want you to read that next statement. When it begins with, but they regard it not. Ready? Begin. But they regard it not the work of the Lord. Say it again, please. But they regard it not the love of the work of the Lord. It's an amazing thing that I try to listen. Yeah, I had the message all ready for this. I never got to it this morning, but the second message. Had it all ready. But the Spirit of God in my study yesterday afternoon, and I was all ready. Sometimes I have notes in my Bible. Sometimes I have a note here or two on my page. But I knew I had a good message, but I didn't get it in my heart yet. I was praying, saying, God, it's not there. I can't preach it. And God directed me another path and another direction. And I want to be so sensitive. I want to prepare, and I think you should prepare. You ought to pray. It's only happened a few times, but I can recall the old building. I was sitting in my chair right here on a Sunday night, and during the service, God kept bringing a verse up to me and kept thinking about this, and I went over there, and I put away my notes, and I said, tonight we'll look at this text. And God gave me a message sitting right there, and his touch was on it. I want you to know that it seems like, and I've known where I was going this Sunday night, it seems like I've heard music, but I will serve thee because I love thee. The longer I serve him, I knew I was going to be speaking about the service of the Lord. Our class, Mrs. Treeper doesn't feel comfortable teaching the Word of God with men there. We have a couples class. But we have this session, this section there, where she talks to us about the, about just some things that are helpful hints for a marriage or helpful hints for a family. And it's about 5 minutes, and it's wonderful. They love that better than my teaching, I'll tell you that right now. I sit there, and this morning, God had laid on her heart the work of the Lord, serving the Lord. And I thought, it is so amazing. God, I think you're confirming my message. I want to be so sensitive that when someone reads a verse or someone sings a song or someone does something, it is really helping me to understand that God is authenticating where I'm supposed to be. I think he'll do that if you're listening. I want to hear the voice of God. He still speaks. We say, and when she talked about this morning, I said, that's exactly, I didn't tell her, that's exactly where I am tonight. I want to serve God. I love it. I love serving God. I'm not upset that my life has been, all of my adult life has been in the work of the Lord. It's the most thrilling thing. If you had to do it over again, what would you do? Serve God in the work of the Lord. Now, I know many of you are lay folks, and you serve God so diligently. The question she asked our class this morning, and she said, I'm not discounting the ushers, but you don't even have to pray if you don't want to walk down an aisle and pass a plate. I think it's different with these men and Brother Sam. It's because of your testimony. He looked at that as something spiritual. She said, in the choir, you can even miss the choir practice and stay up here at the top of the stairs and not go down and sing. And you don't have to have the touch of God. Just got a good voice, you can make it. But she said, that's not serving God. Tonight I want to speak on this text, but they regard it not the work of the Lord. They regard it not the work of the Lord. It's an amazing thing in my life. As you move on through life and you look at things so differently, I was thinking about the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's from the song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And it was written in 1908, excuse me, it was written before that with Fanny Crosby. D.L. Moody even had her give the testimony. He said, one day, Fanny, come up here if you will. She was the lady that gave us over 8,000 poems and hymns and many hymns in our songbook. The blind lady. She lay in state at this Capitol, Washington, D.C. First lady to ever lie. There are only two ladies have. Rosa Parks and her, as far as I'm not mistaken, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, she said, I was so reluctant to say a word. And then I came to that platform. And she said, a little poem that I've written, and they didn't put it to music to 1918, 100 years ago right now. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for the look at the Savior, and light more abundantly. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful grace, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Please, I know I'm strange compared to some of you. And I know what I'm about to say. I know that. And I don't believe you're wrong if you like something I don't like. And I'm not looking for an amen or anything on this, because some of you like this and you're a good Christian. For the last 2 years, because it's grown strangely dim, I cannot watch a basketball game because I have no respect for the whole crowd. I have no respect for the coach of the Warriors. The things he says, the anti-American things he says. I have no respect for that team that believes that you can kneel for the anthem. I have no respect. I have no respect for the NFL. It seems like every one of those, every day someone's being arrested for something. That crowd's a bunch of criminals as far as I'm concerned. So, well, I know someone that's got a good testimony. Seth Curry has a good testimony. Then why, pray tell, when they won, not the World Series, what do you play? Whatever they play, why did they go to the Harlot Club in Oakland? Doesn't sound like a good Christian to me. I have no desire. Now you can. Went to the championship. Had no desire. For me, it's just repulsive. I'd like to get in the, wherever they're at right now, Sweet 16 or wherever point. I just don't have time. I have no desire for the NFL. Maybe it's because in life, you realize, I don't know how much more of this I've got left. And whatever days I have left, I want it to be, but my God is real. Was that the song tonight? Oh, man, I tell you, that just got on. And then Joyce, you and the orchestra playing. I can get on to that song right now. Right now. And all the special songs tonight and the choir. So much of this world, I hope it's been dim in my eyes before, but it doesn't hold value to my wife and I. There's not a ski slope in America are in the world that attracts me to be out of God's house. I have no desire to go freeze my toes off on a Sunday morning. I have no desire to chase a ball around a golf course on a Sunday morning. I have no desire not to be involved with music and with the buses and with door-to-door soul winning and Super Saturdays. I have no desire not to be. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of tithing. I want to be part of giving. I want to be got right with God and serve God. But they regarded not the work of the Lord. They were careless. They were careless. And as I look at this country, I am concerned. But my huge concern tonight is with God's people. As far as I know, we have about 13 or 14,000 people enrolled in Sunday school. Probably about 9,000 members. And this auditorium sits 3,000 people. You do the math. Greatest church in America. If someone would say, I want to give you the opportunity to pastor the greatest church in America, I'd say, why would I want to go anywhere else? I am in the greatest church. But if this auditorium seats 3,000 tonight, and counting the other part, we put everybody, let's say we'd have 3,000 tonight. Where are the other 6,000? Well, I don't feel well. Well, feel bad at church. And I know in some extreme conditions, I know all that. Brother Sam, you're having surgery, a knee replacement on Wednesday morning. You be in church ushering Wednesday night. You skip on down this aisle. Of course, he'll be all drugged up. He might be able to do that Wednesday night. Drugs are great when you have surgery, Brother Sam. Oh, you're going to have a wonderful time hallucinating and all of that. I expect him to stay home. Our dear Brother Bill Manley's recovering from lung surgery. I expect him to be home tonight, doing as he's watching me, what he does when he's in church. Mouth open, eyes back, taking it all in. Brother Manley, you're watching right now. You better not be eating popcorn. No, don't go to the refrigerator right now. You just sit right where you are there. Tonight, as I look at this text, I find tonight that the Bible says, woe to them that rise up early in the morning. You're going to find that these folks are able to get up early in the morning, but not for the work of the Lord. Not for God's work. They get up early in the morning that they may follow, stay after strong drink until night. So let me stop right there. And I'm all for, we flew down to LA for 3 days last week to see our grandkids. We hadn't seen them since Thanksgiving, and it was such a joy to see them. And I don't know when, we can't figure out when we'll ever get down there again. It's going to take a long time. I'm all for it. I don't understand. I do not comprehend how that if there's a 3-day weekend, we've got to go to Southern California. I know that there's a 3-day weekend and you haven't been. I understand that. Bobby, I know that you need to go. Those grandkids are your grandkids too. You need to get down there. They want to see you. And I know that. But we got to stop, and there should be many of you this year going to Disneyland, but we've got to stop every 3-day weekend running to Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm and whatever's in San Diego. There's some things down there too. And Seaport Village and Disney and all the other things and all the fun and all the beach and all the play. We are living on the verge of collapse in this country, and the only thing that can save it is the work of God. Amen. Sunday school classes and bus routes and ladies holding babies. You know this crowd that was here today, I love them, I love them, I love them. But bus kids look different than they did 42 years ago. We've lost everything in this country. I doubt if the average child in this America has ever been taught how to soak their body up from head to toe and wash their body and cleanse their body and clean their body every day of their life. I fly in airports all the time. I was in the airport last Friday evening, supposed to leave at 4:10 to preach in Southern California. I was going to Disney. I wasn't going to Disney. I was going to San Diego, and my flight kept getting postponed, and at 5:30, I think it was, I called the pastor and said, listen, we're still late. I was supposed to be there in 30 minutes to preach. He said, come on, we'll wait for you. And I finally got there late. I hate that. I had no control of the plane, and I preached. And I want to tell you, it was a wonderful thrill to see God's people hungry for the Word of God and what God did that night. But as I go to these airports, I sat there 10 minutes and 15 minutes and 30 minutes and 40 minutes and 50 minutes, and I was on my phone and realized I didn't bring my battery charger. And so I had to get off the phone. So I just started watching people. And I sit there thinking, this guy is sloppy. Just sloppy, he's dirty. And I got thinking, that poor guy has to live with that woman. And then that poor guy, the world's sloppy. They all look dirty. I can say it, I'm looking around, I think I'm okay tonight. It seems like I don't have a problem with, you know, that paint or whatever you put on, ladies, makeup, I don't have a problem with that. But it seems like the ladies at the airport do. They're scary looking. And then when I looked around, it's all a ponytail stuck up on the top of their head, it seems like. I see people at the airport in their pajamas. I was over here at Safeway. I saw a man coming in the morning, slippers, his pajamas, all black at the bottom, and he's probably going to take those same pajamas to bed. I pulled up to a store the other day, and I saw this guy and he spit all over the place. And I thought, a guy in his pajamas is going to walk through that and go to bed. You got to be kidding me. That's about the grossest thing. But you know, any country without Jesus is always dirty. Go look at it. Go look. Go look. As kind as I be, kind of be, we invaded the Middle East and they had no idea what toilet tissue was. You figure that out. You figure that out. And it's vile. Why? Without Christ. That's why Leviticus is so important. It tells you how to be clean. This nation needs God. And if we cannot stay in our class, the vast majority of Sundays, 48, 49, 50 Sundays out of the year, we're not going to reach this next generation. Ah, we haven't been to Disneyland in 3 weeks. Put it aside. I'm suggesting tonight that God's work is so important. I think I'll close. I'm not even to my message. But notice what he says, the harp, the vial, the tabret, it's all about music and fun and the wine. See, we're not drinking strong drink like they did in verse 11. We're just Christians with wine. Yeah, but you're a fool. Look not upon it, God says. Don't touch it. Don't give it to your neighbor. And the feast, it's all a party. Party, party, party. How about responsibility? How about working a job? How about funding the work of God? How about paying your bills on time? And so then he says, they party, but they regard not the work of the Lord. May I say these three things and I'll finish. It's 7:30. I always like to be done by now. Our work will be rewarded. First, 2 Chronicles 15:7. God says, your service, your work will be rewarded. You dear Sunday school teachers and junior church pastors and bus captains and bus drivers and bus workers and security people and nursery workers, your work will be rewarded. It will be rewarded. You Christian school teachers and professors, your work will be rewarded. You people in the music that bring honor to God, your work will be rewarded. God rewards it. He rewards it with crowns that Revelation 4:10-11, we can cast at his feet. And so when you think of the work of the Lord, I want you to remember your work will be rewarded and our work will be remembered. For he being dead, Hebrews 11, yet speaketh. Now I know that speaking of Cain and Abel and all that situation. But I tell you what, the work of Mrs. Daniels in my life 60 years ago, 61 years ago, as my Sunday school teacher in my pastor's garage, her work is living on in me. I have no idea. I would imagine by now she must be passed away. And her husband, a California Highway Patrolman, he must be passed away. And her son, Dan Daniels, I don't know if he's alive or not, but I do know this, that her work is not in vain. It will be remembered. And I know, Clarence Nelson, your work will be remembered. My junior church preacher on Sunday morning. And I do know that George Peterson worked at IBM or General Electric, excuse me. I know, George, your work will be rewarded and it will be remembered. And I say thirdly, and I'm done, your work will be respected. The most honorable task that you can have in the world is to serve God as a family together. As Treber mentioned to our class this morning, don't do all these other fun things without taking your kids. It's Stan Leiter. Perhaps Tuesday night, 6:30, you can meet us and we'll meet for 5 to 10 minutes and we'll be out. And it might be light enough that you still can get your kids with maybe 30, 40 minutes of door knocking and inviting for Easter Sunday and then get them home and get them bathed and get them in bed by still about 8:15. They'll make it. And it might be Saturday morning, you can bring your little family, and your little family can go door knocking and knock on doors and visit people and talk to people. This crowd, God says, woe, woe to you. You're wasting your life because you don't regard the work of God. I know that this crowd does. But don't become weary in well-doing. It pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. We're out of time. Could I ask you to stand, please? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, this work of the Lord is eternal.